Hello, so very big welcome to everybody for our online retreat with Bliss Bestowing Hands. And it's so nice to see a few new faces, but also lots of familiar faces. Just sort of looking forward to, well, we're just at the beginning, but we're just going to be creating a retreat community together over the next week. And really looking forward to practicing with you. So, format of this evening session is we're gonna like do some introductions initially, like introducing the team and the retreat. Pranita will share any practical things, and then Paramananda will talk a bit about the retreat theme. Then we'll do a dedication ceremony and a mantra, followed by a meditation led by Paramananda and a closing mantra led by Paramananda. So that's the format of the evening. We may finish slightly early, but otherwise we'll be finishing around 8:30. So if you don't know me, I'm Bodhi Leela, and I've been co-leading a series of online meditation retreats with Paramananda since June 2020, shortly after the first lockdown, when we thought we'd see whether it was possible to have an online retreat, what it might be if it was possible for any kind of connection or meaningful practice to happen, and felt like that was quite a success. And so, as a result of that, we've done, I think this is the seventh or maybe the eighth of our retreats that we've done together. And particularly in this year, we've done meditation retreats with a focus on the body, on the breath, and on the heart. Though, of course, with every retreat, we've been bringing in the body and the breath and the heart and wisdom, because they're always there. And I think our approach is very much to try and be embodied in our practice. So, very strong connection with the body and the breath, but also very much focusing on the heart and the imagination and creativity. And we're quite, I think we've developed into being quite devotional. So there will be some ritual, but also mantra chanting as a practice. So sometimes people do mantra chanting just as a little bit to sort of settle in before you do a meditation. Or maybe you just are used to doing it in the context of puja, making offerings. But I think both Paramananda and I individually like to do mantra chanting as a practice, just as we would do meditation as a practice. And we will be doing some extended mantra chanting as part of the retreat. So if you haven't been on an online retreat before, it is, well, it's different because obviously we're all in our own individual spaces, unless you're coming along with a friend or partner. And we share this virtual space and a connection, and it's quite interesting how that connection can feel very strong, even with people that you never actually are in the same room with or may have never met in person. And how we can still build up a sense of shared practice, even though you don't have quite the same sense of energy as if we were in the same room. If you don't like staring at a screen all the time, you're fine to be lying down or have your screen switched off if you don't want to have that on. And we will be asking people to have themselves muted a lot of the time because of the lag in times when we're doing things and people are talking, it can be a bit of a cacophony. But the basic things that we'll be doing on the retreat, we'll be doing a lot of meditation. There'll be some talks, some reflection, chanting, ritual, reflection, and also there'll be some groups. So in the afternoons, we'll have small groups where you can get to share and connect with people on the retreat. And we are going to try and keep those groups together where possible, the same. And obviously, if you don't want to do that, you can let us know. And over the course of the week, you know, it's really nice to have a sort of sense of continuity, just like you would if you were on an in-person retreat. It's harder to maintain the sort of space and the mood and the energy when you switch off your screen and there may be other activities or people and things you're doing. But that can be part of the practice, really. I think it's quite interesting just going with what it is like trying to practice in these conditions. But I would also be conscious that, you know, actually when you switch off the screen at the end of a session, to maybe build in a bit of transition, because you might have entered into a different kind of a space, you know, particularly if you've gone quite deeply in your meditation, and it might be a little bit jarring to just suddenly go switch off your screen, or not even switch off your screen, just go into doing other things on your device. So I would encourage you, if you can, to simplify your life during this retreat. And obviously some people have already got commitments, work, family and other things. But where you can, maybe just do less. You know, maybe don't watch telly, maybe just sort of be a bit more quiet or go for walks. You know, maybe there's a park or somewhere so that you can feel that connection with nature rather than binge watching something. Yeah, but obviously it's your choice. Well, Paramahansa is going to be talking about the theme of the retreat, but yeah, I'm very much looking forward to us sort of making connections, practicing together, and seeing where that leads us. There's always that sense of a journey and adventure. We all have our individual journeys, but also our collective journey on a retreat. And we can't anticipate what will happen. If we've been on retreats before, we might have some idea what might happen, but we never know. And that's one of the things that's really interesting and quite exciting about being on a retreat, I think. Anyway, I think I'll just see whether or not Pranyanita's got any practical stuff she wants to say, and then pass you over to Paramahansa.
So, welcome everyone. Lovely to see you all. And I think just what needs to be said is, if you need to contact me, then please use the teaching@westlondonbuddhistcentre.com email address, which you would have, most of you, unless you've only signed up today, you would have received an email from there. And I'll put it in the chat box as well. So if you need anything, or if you want to communicate in any way, then let me know in that email. And also I'll put the link where the recordings will be as well from each session, and hopefully we'll be uploading those as we go along. And that's probably all I had to say. Hope you enjoy the retreat.
Okay, so Paramahansa, would you like to say something about the theme of the retreat?
No, thank you, Padarita, and welcome to you all this evening. This term "bliss the stone hand" is from the Zen or Chan, which is the Chinese word for Zen tradition. So what they used to do, or they used to, they would go and live in a monastery, the monks or the nuns, and undergo a very kind of rigorous training that might last you know, anything after that, 10 years or maybe less anyway. But anyway, they go into a monastic situation and have an intense period of training and meditation. And at some point, the teacher would decide that they'd had enough experience, insight or whatever, and then they would leave the monastic setting and become an itinerant mendicant monk for a couple of years before they settled down. Maybe in a village or maybe they go back to a monastery or anything. But anyway, there was this idea of going back into the world, and they used to talk about going back to the marketplace. They meant the sort of normal world, the world of normal life, you know, with bliss bestowing hands. That's where it comes from. They have this lovely phrase: go back to the marketplace with bliss bestowing hands. So, and I think why that came to me, I've been lucky enough for the last few months to be doing retreats in person rather than online. And one quite long one in the countryside. And anyway, when I was on that retreat, I was feeling more and more that I don't know how I can put this really. I think it's a kind of urgency somehow, I suppose, in my own life, kind of urgency, but also in regard to our practice of Buddhist, you know, why, you know, this question for me kept coming up, well, why are we doing this? Why are we practicing? And and this feeling that actually, because of the quite particular circumstances we find ourselves in, that somehow it wasn't adequate anymore to be doing a practice which was fundamentally orientated towards our own well-being. And that had to be a sort of greater turning out to the world. And of course, it's quite difficult because we might not feel ready or able to do that. And we might still feel that we need to very much attend to our own kind of development, whatever that means, our own well-being. But of course, our well-being is not kind of separate from the well-being of the world, is it? And this, because this has become so apparent, so sort of stark to us now, it feels to me that we have to quite consciously see what we can do about incorporating that within the practice, partly because actually I don't think we can have an individual well-being when we don't have that more generally in the world, if you like. You know, we're not an individual in that sense, are we? We're not other than the world, we're part of the world. So any a practice of any sort of depth has to account for that, has to account for the fact that we're living in a world which unfortunately is in some kind of process of crisis, really. And I suppose what I'm saying, I don't think it is adequate for us now to think in terms of just practicing um, as a way of making our lives more comfortable, more pleasant. There has to be a bit more to it. Of course, this has always been the case with Buddhism. Buddhism's always emphasized our connection and responsibility in the world. But I think it's just become a lot more apparent in the last decade, really, but coming more clearly into focus. So what I'm hoping we can do in this retreat is just explore those issues, you know, those issues of how we can marry our own practice to a practice that is orientated towards the well-being of the world, and how we can find the strength and resilience. And this seems to me to be this idea of resilience seems to me to be so important at the moment, because it's so easy for us to feel overwhelmed. It's so easy for us to feel that we don't have any real agency in the world. Can't really do anything. So I'm interested in how our practice can be more consciously orientated towards building a kind of resilience or flexibility where actually we can be effective in the world, and we can also enjoy ourselves as well, I suppose, because I don't think us all becoming depressed or about the situation is going to help, but on the other hand, it has to be fully confronted and taken in. So we'll be looking for the connection between our own individual well-being, the well-being of the world, and how can we maintain a sort of psychological balance and positivity, while at the same time opening more fully to what needs to happen, how we need individually to change, and what contribution we can make to that change. And I'm sure I'm not the only one here. I'm sure that's on all of our minds to some degree or other. So I think one of the things would be I want to look at what is the role of our Buddhist practice, our meditative practice within that historical situation we find ourselves in. So I hope that we'll see how, as Bodhi leader said, we'll just have to see how that unfolds, quite what's going to happen. Not that I've got some program to do that, but I hope we can sort of engage with it together and see what we can make of it. I think that's probably all I want to say about that theme. So it's nice to be here with you all and see how things unfold there.
Thanks, Paramananda. And just to sort of say that after tonight, we're not going to be having evening sessions, but we will have a fairly quiet, unled, but with bells and maybe with a poem or something, meditation practice in the morning. We'll then have the 10:30 slot. There'll be a short talk and then followed by practice, which may vary what form that takes. And then in the afternoon, there'll be the groups and maybe some more practice and sometimes Q&A, sometimes a bit of ritual. And Paramananda and I will be alternating who's leading the 10:30 session and giving the talk, and Paramananda will be starting us off tomorrow. So let's just pause for a minute, because we're going to shift gear now into practice mode. Starting with the dedication ceremony, then we'll have a green Tara mantra, Paramandala leading us in meditation, and then leading us in the Avalokiteshvara mantra. And we've got about an hour for that practice. Yeah, so the dedication ceremony is only going to be about 10 minutes or so. Mantra, well, we could do another 10 minutes of mantra, but then that leaves us with quite a lot of time for meditation and the final mantra. So one of the reasons why we do the dedication ceremony, I think, is just to sort of individually and collectively dedicate ourselves to the retreat, intentions, and also trying to create a sort of sacred space symbolically, in at least in our imaginations. And I think if you've been on Tri Ratna retreats or other events, you'll be familiar with the dedication ceremony. Sometimes even we can sort of take it a bit for granted. But in a way, we're making our commitment to the three jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And in a way, when we do that, we are making a commitment to our own development, our own progress, but also doing that in the context of the world and the wider Sangha. But then in the dedication ceremony, there's a sort of like wanting this space to be more serious, you know, taking it seriously. So there's that line, here may no idle word be spoken. Doesn't mean to say that we can't joke or be a little bit flippant or something in the groups or times. But there's something about just taking our practice seriously and taking each other seriously. There's also a line, here may no unquiet thought disturb our mind, which I think is, well, it's an aspiration, and I'm pretty sure that pretty much every time we sit down there will be thoughts disturbing our minds, and that's part of our practice and part of what we're including. So yeah, it would be good to enter the retreat with a sense of receptivity and being willing to just be with what is in our experience, turn towards it, try not to judge it, and just being interested in what's going on. But we do it in the context of ethics, so there's the observance of the five precepts in there, and basically reference to the threefold path of meditation and wisdom and ethics that we're dedicating this week of practice. But recognizing that we're not doing it by chanting scriptures or acts, but we're doing it by our own efforts, that we're making this place, we can dedicate this place through ourselves. And the image of the mandala, this being a sacred spot, and those various images for enlightenment and for the past. So there's the lotus, there's the vajra, and that sense of transformation. So let's just take a moment, a couple of minutes, just to get into a comfortable position for where we'd like to be, not just doing the dedication ceremony, but the following mantra and meditation. And if you're happy sitting on a chair, then do that. If you want to move on to cushions or lie down, just find whatever's the most appropriate for you for this time. If you'd rather switch off your video, feel free to do that as well. And Paramanda and I will be doing the dedication ceremony and call and response. So I'll be saying the lines, and then Paramanda will be the responder, and I just invite you to join in with Paramananda in your own space with the response. And that in itself, the idea of doing something in call and response, that is a symbol, that is a metaphor, that's a kind of archetype of you hear the call and you respond, you know. And if you don't want to join in, then feel free not to join in. But there's something about actually participating, saying the words that you might find quite helpful. Dedication ceremony. We dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
We dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
To the Buddha.
To the Buddha.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Dharma.
To the Dharma.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Sangha.
To the Sangha.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
To the observance of the five precepts.
To the observance of the five precepts.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the practice of meditation.
To the practice of meditation.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the development of wisdom.
To the development of wisdom.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Here may there be peace.
Here may there be peace.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Here may there be love.
Here may there be love.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Here may there be joy.
Here may there be joy.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
Here seated.
Here seated.
Here practicing.
here practicing.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
With body, speech, and mind.
With body, speech, and mind.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Om Tare, Tu Tare, Ture Swaha. 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 tare, tu tare, tu e swaha. Om 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 tare, tu tare, tu e swaha.
So just allowing your breathing to settle of the chant in chanting and sort of help refresh your body a little bit, regulated your breath a little bit. Just allowing your breath to settle down. Let's just start by as you breathe in and out, maybe just bring your awareness to your heart center, as it were. The breath naturally takes us down to the heart, takes us to the lungs, isn't it? And drape around the heart and all that caress. The heart. Yeah. So follow our breath down, both sensationally but also imaginatively. Takes us to our heart center. Just notice how we're feeling. Whatever that is, don't necessarily, we're not trying to change it at the moment. Just noticing how you're feeling. Maybe you feel quite excited about starting a retreat, or maybe you feel some resistance, or whatever it is. It's not necessarily an idea, but just a feeling, you know, you feel open and soft or numb or whatever, just acknowledging as you breathe in and out, acknowledging what feelings there are there for you. As we do this, just imagine beginning to allow your face to soften a little bit. So we're just letting the face begin the process of relaxing a little. Make sure that you're not unnecessarily holding your jaw, your mouth is soft. Maybe allow the breath to make that sensational contact between that relationship between the face and the heart. So whatever feelings are in the heart and are inviting into the face, if that makes sense. When the face begins to relax, it naturally expresses our feelings, isn't it? Just using the breath to make this connection between the face, through the throat, to the heart. Just acknowledging this is what it feels like for me sitting here now, whether it's confused, unclear, whatever. Just acknowledge what it is. It doesn't have to be anything in particular. There's no right way of feeling. This is what's actually there now. of being aware of the crown of your head and just making sure that the head is balanced, not pulling back the head and constricting the back of the neck there. Just very gently imagine we're releasing the head upwards towards the sky. Having the idea of allowing the face to soften, using the breath to establish a relationship between the heart center and the head there, through the throat center, which we've been chanting, it's probably a little bit activated, a bit more open perhaps. So this is kind of energetic as well as emotional, if you like, connection that we're making. And when you're ready, just being aware of what's below the heart, the movement in the diaphragm, supporting the breath. Movement and feeling in the belly, the lower abdomen, as we breathe in and out. Down into the pelvis. Our connection with whatever it is we're sitting on, cushion or chair. Maybe we can have a sense of the breath from the head right down to the face, to the pelvic floor. So we're becoming aware of the whole length of us as we breathe in and out. Maybe initially at the front of the body. Or perhaps the breath is more apparent. Face, throat, chest, belly. And then perhaps include the sides of your body, from the hips, not from the sitting bones to the hips there, through the sort of pelvic girdle. The size of the body, that little space, the size of the body under the ribs, before you get to the rib, between the hips and the rib. Up into the size of the chest and the arms, up into the armpit. Maybe you can just open the armpits a little bit and get a sense of openness. So as we breathe, we've got some sense of the front and sides of our body, and then just letting it go round to the back of the body. Breathing in, aware of our body, and breathing out, aware of our body. to breathe in and out. Just have the idea of letting go now in the leg, releasing any unnecessary holding on in the leg. If you've got the meditation posture reasonably aligned, there shouldn't be any need to hold on in your leg. Just let go. So of course, that's not always so easy. Potentially, at least, the idea that you can completely let go in the leg and the hips. Trust the world to support us. Trying to settle into the kind of physicality of our experience, which is like the embodied nature of our being. It's important, I think, for so many of us these days, where our and the sense of ourselves can become quite kind of abstracted, both from our own bodies and from the material world in general. Well, we're using meditation here, coming back into the body of things. Even say the kind of animal spirit of ourselves. All our intelligence and sophistication, of course, we are animals. Breathing in, breathing out, experiencing ourselves as fully as we're able to at the moment. So let's just, as we breathe in and out, just have a sense of our surroundings, wherever you happen to be. There's a sense of the world around you, starting with the place you're sitting in. Probably quite familiar to you, just having a sense of the actual space that you're in. And you can just gently sort of extend that out to the surrounding neighborhood, your own local kind of area. You have this sense of sitting in a particular place, not in some abstract. The sense of this grieving body of ours being in a particular place in the world. Let's try and just feel into how the breath brings the internal space of our own lives, our own bodies, the internal, our own minds and hearts, sort of individual experience of being. It brings this individual experience of being into a broader context of being in, even of the world. Just a simple breath kind of has this inbuilt into it on a physiological and psychological level, the felt level. You can feel that the breath is coming from the outside world. You're drawing in nourishment from the outside world, the so-called inner world of your own body. And then you're releasing from this inner world back into the so-called outer world. So we're always in this intimate, felt relationship with the world. When we're really aware of our breath, we're always in the world. Without making any particular effort to notice whatever awareness of your local piece of the world offers itself here. You just have a sense of sitting, whatever it is you're sitting, with the world around you. Just sort of feel into that. What does that, what does that feel like for us? Do we feel comfortable in that world or uncomfortable? Do we feel threatened or supported? Just noticing again, we don't have to make anything of it. We're just interested in how we actually feel now, sitting here, breathing in and out in our room, in our town, our place, our city. What does that feel like? Your face relaxed. Not trying to solve a problem, work anything out. Just trying to feel into what it's like for us to be alive in this world at this moment. This moment of breathing in. This moment of breathing out. Is our relationship with the world? How do we feel in the world? Kind of gathering the heart, perhaps from the in breath. Maybe a sense of kind of releasing a little in the heart, maybe in the out breath. Not trying to make anything happen, but just being aware of the subtlety of the own experience of breathing in and out. just noticing what's happening. Need to just coming back to the experience of grieving, felt experience of grieving. A kind of fundamental experience of being in the world that is grieving in and out. Of course, we have many other experiences, but the breath is always there. The moment we're born, we leave the world of our mother's body, our mother's womb. Until that point is sustained and nourished us, falling to the world, and when we come into the world, in that moment we have this same relationship in the world in a way that we're nourished by the world for the rest of our life. So many different ways, but most fundamentally just by being in that medium that we were in the womb, we're now in the world. Come into the womb of the world, if you like. We're reliant on it for our basic central nourishment. Just be aware of our breath, feel into it, sort of feeling into our relationship with this world. These days we live in a various levels, don't we? And coming on this retreat together, we're creating, as Oda Leader mentioned, the kind of practice community for a week. Those relationships, of course, are kind of virtual. The sense that we're not, the people aren't materially present, they're not together in the same place. And we can, nevertheless, have an imaginative connection, awareness to one another. These people are also in the world, aren't they? They're in that little piece of the world, their room, their town, their country. And their bodies are sitting there breathing in that place. This is our bodies sitting here breathing in our place. big world, but it's all the same world, isn't it? We're all in the same world. One of the things we'll be trying to work with this week is the sense of allowing ourselves to be supported by the world, also supported by other people, our communities, our families, our friends. In this case, it's a virtual practice community, so let's have a sense of one another. Sitting and breathing. We're going to end this evening by just chanting Avalokiteshvara mantra. Om Mani Padme Hum. Jewel in the lotus. And this is a mantra about uncovering ourselves in a way, revealing ourselves to the world, allowing our love, positive qualities to manifest, shine forth as it were. Connecting with and learning to express our deepest treasure, if you like. What is it we've got to offer the world? I just chant for one, and you can just join in as you will. And when I fade away, that'll be the end of the evening, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. Meditation. Hope you all have a good night. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Padme Om. Om Mani 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 Padme Om. Mani Padme Om. Om 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 Mani Padme Om. Mani Padme Om. Om 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 Mani Padme Om. Mani Padme Om. Om 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 Mani Padme Om. Mani Padme Om. Om Mani Padme Om. Om Mani Padme Om. Om Mani Padme Om. Om Mani Padme Om.
So you're welcome to sit on. But this is ending the session for tonight, and hope to see you for our 8 o'clock meditation tomorrow, or at least at 10:30. So go well.